The best place to meet your wife is in church. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The best place to meet your wife is in church. Now, some people would agree and some people would disagree. But why not?
Why not?
Why not? Now, what does church mean? Church means a place where you go to learn about your highest and best, to learn about what is expected out of you on the highest level that you could be have anything expected out of you. And so every person who goes to church is going there because they're looking for their highest and best. Now, what better place to go and look for your highest and best and find your highest and best than in church, where you find what kind of a woman, Beatrice?
An ideal woman.
Thank you for your full sentence. I like full sentences. You go to church and you find
the ideal woman, the ideal man.
Now let's not get ahead of the story. You go to church and you find the who's going to church and looking? The man is going to church and he's looking for the ideal woman. Now the woman, she's going to church, and what does she want to find? You may say
the ideal man.
The ideal man. And some men go to church and find the ideal man, and some men women go to church and find the ideal women. But there are exceptions to the rule. The general run-of-the-mill number of people are the people who find their opposite sex, because that's just the way the situation was designed from the very beginning. None of it is either good nor bad or indifferent, but it's just the way it's designed. Now, if you did not have female frogs and male frogs, you wouldn't have baby frogs. And it's just the way the game is played. Now, when you go to church and you're looking around, are you going there looking for the ideal man? Or are you going to church looking to see if you can understand yourself? Looking to see if you can understand what the divine idea of yourself is, who you are. Who are you? I had a woman on the phone today who was a challenge to listen to her, because she said she wants to establish a church and she wants to establish a calling, and that she is called to this and she's called to that, and she has gone into several organizations and taken their courses, and she is kicked out of each one. Now, she told me that, and I thought, my God, you are a loser right from the beginning, you know, telling me you're kicked out. And so I said to her, I said, I don't know her name, and I didn't take it down. I said, you know, one of the first things that you have to do if you're going to go out and preach and teach and heal is to like yourself. Jesus told his disciples to know themselves. He said, like yourself, it is done unto you according to your belief. And he said, love your neighbor like yourself. He said all these things. Now, until we like ourselves, we cannot go out and be of any blessing to the rest of the world. Because if we don't like ourselves, we're going to take our don't liking of ourselves out into the world. And this is very positive, very powerful, and very wonderful. Now, if you are unmarried and you're thinking, it's about time I get married, then you just open the door and put your best foot forward. Now, what kind of a person are you going to be when you go to your church to be available for the ideal man or the ideal woman? What kind of a person are you going to be? You're going to be your ideal self. Yeah, you're going to like yourself. Can you imagine you going up to anybody and liking them when they don't like themselves? You may go up to them and want to do a good turn for them and say, hey, you know, you're really a nice person, you're really fine, and so forth. But and then the person says, well, will you marry me? No. No. You don't like yourself. Well, you said that you'd help me like myself. Well, yeah, that's right. But I'm not going to start out a marriage relationship going hard at work, you know, to teach you how to like yourself. You have to teach yourself how to like yourself. Now, how do I teach myself how to like myself? Or you just start saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Now, how do you say I like me? You say I like me, and then you do nice things. Now, you are a fat pig. And so, you say, I want to be handsome and beautiful. I want to be gorgeous and desirable. Well, then, you have to not curb your appetite. You have to direct your appetite in a way that's going to bring about the body you want, you know? Now, they have all these magazine articles that say fat people can't get thin, and whenever fat people go on a diet, they usually end up getting fatter after they stop their diet than when they went on. I mean, they really give you a lot of confidence in going on diets, you know, make you really feel good. But if you take a person and you say to that person, you're gorgeous, and the person weighs quite a bit of weight, big fat woman, and you say, you're gorgeous. And the woman said, oh, come on now. There you are. You're thoughtful, you're loving, you're a gentle person, you're just gorgeous. Oh. And every time you tell this person they're gorgeous, you're doing a blessing for yourself. But every time you tell a person, this person, that they're gorgeous, that they're thoughtful, that they're loving, that they're gentle, you are helping them, yourself mostly, to get over the feeling that they're compensating in their life for lack of being gorgeous, lack of being loved, lack of being, because that's what we do. We eat as a compensation. Mm-hmm. We smoke as a compensation. We drink as a compensation. We live as a compensation. Now, when we really start liking ourselves, then we won't go around living as a compensation. We will be the fulfillment of it. Now, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, do you do that all the time? Do you do that to others all the time? Do you say naughty things to each other because that's what you want other people to say to you? No, that's what you do. Now, can you go around and say, Ingeborg, you're beautiful. Ingeborg, you're lovely. Ingeborg, you're always so thoughtful. Ingeborg, you're the most wonderful woman to have around. It's just a pleasure to be with you. Well, Ingeborg does do that. But she does that in maybe 1% of the time. And you say, 1% of the time, and you're giving her all this praise. That's right. The more praise I give her, that 1% grows into 2% and 3%. Because it just grows because that's my expectation. And I am not lying because I see 1% of it, at least, you know. And you can't say a person has, you know, at least 1%. And so then you keep working. And pretty soon, Ingeborg is Princess Diane, you know. The most glorious, wonderful, beautiful being on earth, which she always was. But she didn't know it. Now, this is why love your neighbor like yourself. So you start treating your neighbor like you'd like to be treated. You'd like people to say nice things about you. You'd like people to think about nice things about you. You'd like people to love you and to think that you're just the greatest person that ever came along the world. And is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, well, see, Ingeborg agrees 100%. Yes, sure indeed. And so do all the rest of you. Now, all I have to do is just turn the charm, turn the charm on any of you, and you'll melt in my arms. You know? You'll melt in my arms whether I turn the charm on or not, because that's what I believe about myself. Everybody in my world just melts in my arms. But now, when I turn on the charm, and the charm doesn't mean to lie. The charm means to recognize in you my best virtues and my best attitudes. And then you begin to outshine those attitudes and those virtues. And fantastic! My gosh! How wonderful you are. Then, Beatrice, you are?
The ideal woman.
Then, Beatrice, you are?
The ideal woman.
Then, Beatrice, you are?
Ideal.
Don't let me intimidate you. Then, Beatrice, you are?
The ideal woman.
Yes. The ideal. Yes, you are the ideal woman. Now, what kind of clowns do you hang around with? What kind of men do you hang around
ideal
with?
Ideal men.
Men. The ideal men. In your life, you only have ideal men. You don't know what an unideal man is. You only have ideal men. And when you get married, as you may do when you get back home, when you get married, who are you going to marry?
The ideal man.
Is it the man that you've been living with for the last 50, 40 years?
No,
it's a
new one.
Huh?
It's a new one. It's a new ideal one.
No, you now see him as he really is. You see him as he really was. You see him as the ideal man. Now, if you, and of course I think you're lying right through your teeth, if you say to me, I am the ideal woman.
I am the ideal woman.
If you say that to me, then you cannot see anything in your world except
ideal.
Everything is ideal. Everybody's ideal. Ideal dogs, ideal cats, ideal men, ideal women, ideal houses, ideal everything. Now, you're moving from a house you've lived in for umpty-dump years into a new flat, right? Now, you have a chance in moving into that new flat of having it be ideal. That means when you move in that new flat, you don't take anything into that flat that is unideal. Now, if you have some old clothes, leave them in the old flat or give them away. You're going into that new flat fresh and new. Everything is new. New underclothes, new outer clothes, new shoes and socks, and a new husband. Now, this new husband, his name may be Oscar, just like the man you married, but it's a new husband. He is what?
Ideal.
He is the ideal man. And is the ideal woman going to be moving into that house?
Yes.
Can that ideal woman bring with her all the pictures of living with another man?
No.
That would make it quite a mess, wouldn't it? Would that ideal woman bring into that house pictures of somebody else's grandchildren? Because you are going there brand, you're being born brand new, and you're moving into your house now brand new, and you're taking this man into your house, and you're going to let him carry you over the threshold. You know what that means?
No.
That means to lift you up and carry you into the house.
Yes.
Do they do that in Switzerland?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, then. Don't be so surprised.
Do they stop when they get to the front door?
But you see, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty, though. Now, are you going to let the children that you've previously known and the grandchildren you've previously known into the house?
Yes.
No.
I let them into the house.
The grandchildren that are coming into that house and the children that are coming into that house are what?
The ideal grandchildren,
the ideal children, the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious children.
Okay.
Fantastic in every way. Now, that's a big step. Now, do you have the guts to go in there cold turkey and leave everything else behind and come in there fresh like the ideal
woman?
Do you have the guts to do that? Now, I'm not telling you you should do it. I'm just telling you, if you've learned anything in the 6 weeks that you're here, well, 3 months that you're here, if you learned anything in the 3 months that you're here, what did you learn?
I am the ideal woman, I am myself, and I have fun.
And I have the ideal husband, or ideal man, and I have ideal grandchildren and children, and I have the ideal house. Is that the ideal house?
Yes.
Is it going to, any furniture that you bring in that house is going to be brand new? Expensive, huh? Not really. Remember how you started out when you first got married? You had little boxes at first, you know, and you didn't have a lot of things, but hey, you had each other.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know that you didn't. And you know, all you wanted was a good bed.
Yeah.
Because that was a game that you felt was very important to play. You know? So now, can you do that? Do you think Oscar is going to have the same attitude you have?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes.
Thank you. What is Oscar going to have?
The ideal woman.
Yes.
Ideal attitude.
Is that going to be you?
Yes.
Yes. Now, will he want the ideal house?
Yes.
Will he want the ideal house furnished with the ideal furniture?
Yes.
Yeah. You might take your old furniture, but you re-varnish it and re-cover it and redo things to it, make it all fresh and new, you know? It doesn't mean you have to throw it out, but you make it all fresh and new. Now, why would you do that? You would do that because you are now living in your ideal consciousness, and everything you do is ideal. Now, does that work for you? Does that work for you?
Yes.
Now, if I walk over into your house, will I find the past or will I find the present?
The present.
All right. I may walk over there one of these days, and when I walk over to your house, will I find the past or the present?
You will find both.
He's honest about it. You find both, because he hasn't fully decided that he's the ideal man yet who cannot live in the past. But that's okay.
Well,
and what about you?
Not that I don't live in the past, it's that
I said, who doesn't live
in
the past?
I learn from the past and bring that into my present.
We'll allow that.
Now,
what about you?
I live in the present.
You live in the present now, good. And what about you?
I live in the present.
I live in the present. Well, does art live in the present?
Yes.
Does art have any ability to live in the past?
Uh-uh.
He may talk about it, think about it, he may give us a big story about how much of the past he knows, but it is always the past. And the present is what?
It's the now.
It's the now, and that's all he knows. And you, Ellen?
I live in the now.
And is that wonderful?
Yes.
And are you happy?
Yes.
And do you have ideal people in your world?
Yes.
Well, name a few.
Ingeborg,
help. No. I have ideal grandchildren. I have ideal children. I have ideal husband. I have ideal associates. We're called associates.
Ideal students.
Well, that's another point. An ideal student. Then you can never find any fault with them.
Right.
How beautiful. Wow. Yee. And what about you? Yeah?
Yeah.
And you?
Yeah.
And you?
Yes.
And you?
Yes.
And me?
Yeah.
I find it lovely living in paradise surrounded by ideal people who are just supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're wonderful. Now just remember, what Bible are you going to read? The Bible that somebody else wrote, or the Bible that's right in your heart? The one that you're writing every single moment and every single day. The Bible that tells you. Because if you're not reading this Bible, then you're saying to Jesus, go climb a tree. Because Jesus said,
the
kingdom of God is within you. And within you is the Bible. He said, go within to the Father who openly answers all. So, you see, if we go within, there we find God. There we find the presence, there we find the power, and there we find all that's good. And if you ever think you find something that's not good, look again, because somehow you might have had the mirror turned around wrong, you know. So, follow your heart and live.
The only place you'll ever find God. The only place you'll ever find God.
The only place you'll ever find God is within yourself. And if you look anywhere else, you are wasting your time. Like that lady today who called, she said she wanted to help the world and she wanted to do this, and she knows all about speaking Spanish so perfectly, and she wanted to do this and reach out to people. And I said, lady, you are wonderful, you are a genius, you are fantastic, but you don't know it. You're going out and trying to improve the world, and you don't realize the world is perfect already, and you are perfect. Just start saying, I like me, I like me, I like... She hung up. And that's okay. That's okay. Because the seed was planted. Now she's going to think about that. And nobody else in the entire world ever talked turkey to her. Because I didn't care. She called me and asked me what she could do to be a success. And I told her. I said, just like yourself. And when you like yourself, there's nothing else in anybody else to improve or change or in any way do anything. Just like yourself. And like Art says very strongly, very powerfully, the only place you'll ever find God is in church. I mean, in yourself. The only place you'll ever find God is in yourself. And what do you find in church? You find other people who are finding God in themselves. And sometimes they get a little confused. But no problem. Ours is not to judge another's. Ours is only to see ourselves beautiful and fantastic now and always. Have a good evening and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
And I love you. For 20 minutes, I love you. I love you.